Hello and welcome to the fourth episode of the Duke's Discs. I am joined by my co-hosts Harry and Max, and we have a very special guest here, especially for me and Harry. We have our matron, the first and only male matron in the school. We have Rodel. How are you, Rodel?
Yes, I'm fine. Okay, first I would like to say thank you, Max, Harry and Ralph, for having me here. Good evening, everyone.
No worries. Well, it's a pleasure to have you. So, first of all, I think I'd like to start with some questions. When did you join the Blücher, the house that you're the matron of, just so everyone can know?
To be honest, I joined Blücher since 2008. I joined Blücher as a cleaner. That was 12 years ago. And then I took over as a matron 2015.
So you've been in the Blücher for about 12, 13 years?
Yes, I've been same year as I work in Wellington, the same working in the Blücher. That's a bit long, you know.
So you're just a Blücher legend then? You've always been one of the Blücher boys?
Yes, I love Blücher boys. I think this keeps me more excited to come to work every day.
Yeah,
and to be in the Blücher.
So, what's it like to look after 60 boys in the Blücher?
It's of course this job is it's the best job, but I admit that it was a very very challenging job. It was my first matron job, of course, and I never been into this job before. I used to work as a teacher in the Philippines for 7 years, but I used to work with the same age like your age, but it's very different. But I can say being your matron is one of the best job I can say in the world.
Well, to be honest, I might be biased, but I think you are the best matron in the world. I'm pretty sure that's true.
Thank you.
So your life for the past 12 years has been quite like Wellington heavy, but do you have any like interests and hobbies outside of Wellington?
Yeah, during my day off, I only have like 1 or 2 day off a week, so I normally just relax at home and, you know, just watching like documentary movies and some series and stuff. I love to watch those like the type of designated survivor, CIA, FBI. stuff, you know. That's yeah. All my favorite programs.
I think a lot of people like those. I always like to watch those with my dad, even though he hates them. you grew up in the Philippines, right?
Yeah.
What was it like to grow up in the Philippines?
Actually, my childhood life in the Philippines is very simple. So I live in a very small community. I still remember when I was young, we don't have concrete road, so no road, no electric, and it was just simple, you know. In the morning, you need to get up, you need to feed all your chicken and like those backyard animals that we look after, and then go to school, and then came back in the afternoon. We walk like about 5-6 miles going to school. So it's just really simple life. So every single day is the same thing, and then Sunday you need to go and work in the farm. So, and then yeah, it's just really simple.
Yeah, really, yeah. Like routine.
Yeah, it's like a routine, yeah. every week or every day.
So how long did you live in the Philippines? Roughly.
So I came here 2008, so 33 years.
Yeah. Wow, so it's quite a big like shift from the Philippines and the UK.
It was so big. At first, when I came here, it was a bit of like culture shock, you know.
Yeah,
you came from the country which is it's not as developed as UK, and then, you know, it's very different. I'm always so, even now, I'm still surprised how good UK is compared to other countries. So, yeah, it's very, very surprised.
They're two, like, very different countries, aren't they?
Yeah, it is. of course, weather is very different.
Yeah.
To be honest, weather in the Philippines is, you can say it's much better than here, but when it's summer, it's so hot. So,
yeah.
I love the weather here. So, yeah.
Well, it may be a bit rainy sometimes.
Yeah, it is.
Do you think that you've adapted to life in the UK after coming from the Philippines?
It's the my first year here is always I'm struggling. It's just it's really hard. But I think after like 1-2 years, I'm adapted life in here. So still learning, you know, I still learn how do things in this country. But I think you know it will go every day. So
yeah. I mean, I guess you're always still learning, aren't you?
Yeah, of course.
Now. Before we came in to record this, Harry asked you, who is your greatest influence or someone you look up to in life? Could you tell us about that?
Yeah, I think I have two. Of course, my parents is one. I have six siblings, so even my parents are struggling financially to give us food, they still work hard. My dad is a farmer. My mom is selling vegetable through the local market. But because we're large and big family, so we're struggling financially. But they're still working hard to give us food. And the second one, of course, is my wife. When I meet her, I just started to have a dreams, like better life, you know. Before when I was young, my dream is just to have a food in my table, you know, normal, like 3 times a day, at least I have food. That's the only goal when I was young. But of course, when I went to a secondary school, I still wanted to learn something. But when I finished secondary, that's when I met my wife, and I just realized that there's another word in my word. You know, it makes my word a bit bigger than what I was taught.
How long have you known her for?
My wife.
Yeah.
I met my wife 1997.
Oh.
After my, I was second year college, second year in my university. So, yeah. And yeah, it was actually very quick. I met her, and then we just like dating for like couple of months, and then after like 3-4 months, I just asked her, "Will you marry me?" That's it, you know.
What did you study at university?
I did finish BS Industrial Technology major in electronics. So when I finished electronics, so I also did 2 years master's in management, because at the time, before you can teach, you need to have at least master's degree. So I went straight to my master's. So I'm teaching electronics for 7 years. And yeah.
That's actually really wonderful. I didn't know that about you and your wife. You've known each other for about 24 years. That's really sweet. Sorry. Now, Rodel, you've come here to talk about a charity. Yeah. We've heard you talk about it in the Bloker.
Yeah.
Could you tell us a little bit about your charity?
When I came to this country, of course, I came from the family, which is struggling financially even before. But so I have a bit of finance at this time, of course, you know, I learned school and I get a job and I came to this country. And then every time I went to the Philippines, I went back, me and my brother and my whole family, we normally invited people from my community, and then we prepare food and we give them food. And during Christmas, we give them like a gift. And we also, during the school days and before the start of the school, we give them like school supplies for those very fortunate children. And I got an email at the start of this term that the college will like give something, a portion of fund from the bursary fund, which is earned from our lets. So I managed to ask and get £500 from that fund. And just 2 weeks ago, we managed to give 310 school supplies for those pupil from Lutukan Bata Elementary School, which is it was a really great idea. So yeah, that's the start. That's the first charity, which is, you know, we managed to give them a bit bigger. But the second one, which is I think the Blue Kill Parents is trying to get also a fund, and by the help of Mrs. Kelly, we're trying to get a fund for hand washing and drinking facilities. It's the same school, so it is my old school in my old my old school in my community, which is struggling financially. So yeah, it's really great, and they are like appreciative of what the Wellington given to them just 2 weeks ago.
So you're helping out your old school?
Yes, I'm helping out my old school, which is they do have like nearly 400 pupil. So it's in my community. Parents are struggling, especially now it's pandemic, and it's also the pupil.
Have you been there since you left the Philippines?
I always go there every time I went on holiday. So me and my brother, we have this charity, Sharing is Caring. So we give school supplies and gifts every time we went there.
That's really nice. Has it changed much since you've left?
It's a bit of change, but it's not much, because obviously the fund from the government is always not enough. Mm. It was just enough to pay for the salary of the teachers, but for the facility, of course, is still not enough.
Well, Verdell, do you mind just telling us the name of the charity of the school again, just so we can make sure that everyone listening can?
Yeah, thank you, Ralph. The name of this school is Lutukan Bata Elementary School. So it is a school in my community with 300, nearly 400 pupils. So yeah, I'm asking for support for them.
Well, I actually really hope you get that, because that sounds like a really, really good cause. And I think what you're doing is wonderful, trying to give these people, trying to give these children at the school that you went to, like a better school life. I think that's really wonderful. Sorry, Adele, one very quick thing. How much do you want to raise? If you had to say your goal, what would you say your goal is to raise?
I'm still, I called the head teacher just this morning, and we're trying to get a plan and also the price for the project. But I might get the list and the plan maybe next week. So I don't have any exact amount at the moment, but the project was there.
Perfect. I think the sooner the project starts, the better, to be honest.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
No worries. So Radel, one last thing before we start moving on to the music section of the podcast. I just wanted to ask you whether you know that the Blücher is now known as the Waffle House.
Waffle House is just 2015. I went, actually, that's my first Europe tour with my wife. We went to Belgium, and then I ordered this. It's just a Belgian waffle from the street. And my wife told me it looks delicious, you know, because there's like fruit, and then waffle is steamy hot, and then there's some ice cream and everything. And then we order it, and then I thought it was just cheap, you know. And then when we pay, it's €8 for just really small waffle with 3 pieces of strawberry and some fruit and like just one ice cream. And I said to myself, I think this is going to be a really great treat to my Blucher voice, because that's at that time I'm just going to start working as a matron. So I said to myself, you know, I'm just that's going to be my first suggestion to Mr. Brennan way back before. He used to be the HM of Luca. And then, yeah, we bought a first waffle machine, which is, we bought it in, you know. And then we made the waffle, and then that's the start. And then the second one, we tried to, like, make that as a project. And then, if you remember, like, 4 years ago, the first charity waffle delivery we had, we managed to sell almost 900 pounds, which is we supporting charity to Tiger Club. So yeah, and that's what make our waffle delivery very, very successful even now.
So from one Belgian waffle that you had from the street, it spawned into the greatest tradition that Wellington has ever seen, in my opinion anyway.
Yes. Now it's so great. I love waffle. Even me, yeah. if I went somewhere, I always if I saw someone like a waffle machine, I always think about Blucher. If I went to the Philippines, I saw waffle, I was thinking about Blucher, because it's gonna be our house. It's a waffle house. We do have a waffle sometimes twice every term, but that is gonna be my treat to all my Blucher boys. But we do have a project, which is we're selling waffle to the whole school, and the money that we get from that is always goes to charity in Tiger Club. So it's like a Blucher tradition to sell waffle. Yeah,
that's wonderful. And by the way, just in case anyone wondering, the waffles are amazing. Just in case you're wondering, I think they might actually be the best in the world. So, Rodel, thank you very much for answering questions. And now I'm going to pass you over to Harry with the music.
Hello, Harry. There you go. About my music, my first song is the song called All My Life. This song is actually my favorite song. This is the first song that I dedicated to my wife, Charlene Aguila. So it was a song from America.
Hold on 1 minute. Sorry, Rodel. I'm going to play the song first. We'll listen to it. And then I'll ask you... It's fine. It doesn't matter. And then I'll ask you why the song. And do you have a specific memory? So you said you dedicated it to your wife.
Me and my wife were ups and down. So when at the time when we are down, I always try to listen to this music, because I think All My Life is my wife. Yeah.
So we'll now listen to All My Life by America. Rodel, that song, it seems so special to you, and I can see looking at you now, it really is. Is that your favourite song of all time?
Yes, it is, because we love karaoke, you know. We love karaoke, so every time I went on any karaoke with friends, that song is always gonna be in the table.
Do you like to do it as a solo, or do you do it as a bit of a group performance?
A bit solo, yeah.
Solo, yeah. You seem a type of man confident enough to do that. Your next song is Lazy Song by Bruno Mars. Could I ask you why?
Yeah, I think Lazy Song is everyone's favorite, isn't it? Being lazy, relaxing, staying at home, just listen to music, yeah. So yeah, it's not always lazy, but I prefer to listen to when I was relaxing. I love to watch and listen to a lazy song, because you know, That's how it is.
So we'll now listen to The Lazy Song by Bruno Mars. I don't feel like doing anything. I just wanna lay in my bed. When you first heard that song, Riddell, did you know you were going to like it so much? Or was it something that after listening to for a while suddenly became hit in your mind?
When I first listened to the song, not really. Just like, you know, when you say lazy, you're not going to do anything. But, you know, when you're doing like the whole week working hard and then Sunday you just sit down and then you listen to that music. It's like, there you go. This is life.
I completely agree with you. It's just, do you have, in the Philippines, is it more westernized music?
We're mixed, actually. We have influence of Western, US.
Yeah, of course.
And
now,
of course, popular is Korean thing.
Yeah, K-pop,
Korean music. So it's
gonna
be
big in Philippines.
It was so big.
Really,
so they have this BTS army thingy.
Wow, that is quite special.
Yeah.
Your third song. We've sort of taken a shift from more standard normal songs. Mm. We're going towards Christmas themed, and after all, it is almost Christmas, so it's only right to have these songs. Do you like Christmas?
Yeah, we do. That's the only time we have like the whole family. I told you like earlier that I have a big family. I have 6 siblings, but that's the only time we all complete all the niece, nephew, all my brother, my sister, my mom, my dad. We're all here. We celebrate. Christmas is there, and you know, we just relax. Staying in somewhere and try to remember when we still young and we listen to Christmas song. So I still wanted to remember them because obviously I can't go to the Philippines at this time. So the reason why I chose Christmas song is I still wanted to remember my family. I miss them so much.
That really makes a lot of sense. So your family come over from the Philippines?
No, it was so hard for them to get a visa. So at least just for the music, I can still be with them. I normally just like call them in video call, like, you know, Zoom or something, you know.
Do you ever go over to them for Christmas, go back to the Philippines?
I never been to the Philippines for Christmas for so long. Yeah, I normally go to the Philippines, but it's summertime.
Yeah.
So that's all. I only can go a bit longer. So,
is Christmas as big in the Philippines as it is in England?
It is. We normally started playing Christmas songs since September. As you see the month with Bear, we already play Christmas song in the Philippines. So that's how Christmas. We put the Christmas decoration. On November, so
really, that's even for English standards, that's quite early. So we're about to listen to your first song of Christmas theme, and that is O Holy Night, originally written by Cassie. I mean, O Holy Night really is the pinnacle of Christmas carols, isn't it? I think you can all associate that with the more religious aspect of Christmas as well, the real reason behind giving, rather than just our childhood ideas of presents and nice food.
Yeah.
Your second song is O Come All You Faithful, originally written by John Francis. Your carols, so I was just curious, are you religious in any way?
We traditionally from December 16 until 24th of December we went to the church every single night,
really,
in the Philippines. So that's how we celebrate Christmas. And then when I'm still in the Philippines, every Sunday it's like, you know, you have to go to the church.
Yeah. Out of the two carols, which one would you say is your favorite?
I think Holy Night is my favorite. Yeah. It's, I think A Night Before Christmas is always
special.
A holy night, special. Yeah. That's where we celebrate Christmas with family.
Yeah, of course.
So
that's... Yeah, makes sense, and you've got such good reasons behind all of them. Thanks for talking to us about your music, and I'm about to pass you on to Max, who will do our conclusion.
Riddell, when you walked in here, I had no idea, like, the amount of experiences that, you know, like, everyone we've done, you learn so much more about them, and it's so interesting about, like, kind of the history behind where they've been, what Wellington used to be like. It's so interesting. Yeah. Speaking of, what would be your favourite memory at Wellington?
My favourite Wellington memory is when I got the job. At the time, I was in my very down of my life. I came to the Philippines. I was working as a teacher for 7 years. I came here. There's no job for me. I did apply for so many jobs, but it looked like nobody wants me here. So, and then I walked to the kilometer, and then I found a security. I asked him, "Is there any job somewhere there that you can give me? I'm just really desperate at that time. I'm having a job for like 2 months." So. And he told me that, okay, if you get like a by date or something, you can bring it tomorrow and give it to security. So I went with my by date the next day. I gave it to security. The next day, I got a phone call from the head of the general services at that time. And then I had an interview. And then after the interview, she told me that I got a job. So I think that's the best memory of Wellington I've got here.
That's really nice. Yeah. And what did Wellington look like back then?
It's very different. Kilometers, you can walk freely before. So there's no control gate.
No gates, no.
No gate. It's just, you know. But yeah, it's... there's some big side is different. That before it's still not a big side, so it's a bit mess. But you know, year by year, Wellington is just making so much progress.
Yeah. So on this desert island, what luxury item would you bring to it?
A luxury, of course, is maybe one is food. of course, island. It depends. If it's cold, I'm going to bring maybe jacket. If it's hot, maybe water. So, yeah.
So, speaking of what island, where would you want to be deserted on? Where would you want to be left?
Maybe one island in Bora Bora somewhere.
Oh, you know? Yeah, I've heard about that.
Maybe everyone loves to go Bora Bora.
What book would you want to bring with you?
I love reading Bible, so I'm going to bring Bible. Of course, I cannot bring much food, so after I finish all my food, so I'm just going to read Bible, so yeah.
What temperature would you want this island to be? Would you want it to be really hot, really cold, in the middle?
Middle, you know. I don't want to be like very cold or very hot. So.
And what would your final meal be before you were sent away?
A final meal, of course, steak. Everyone loves steak.
Are you medium rare? Well done.
Well done, yeah. I'm well done.
And finally, what would your last words be before you were sent away to this island?
Here we go. You know, here we go. Yeah.
Radel, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure talking to you. And just knowing what it was like before. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Max.
So it's come to the final point of today's show. But before we finish, we wanted to thank you for your continuous support of the Bluka and for being a vital member of the Wellington community. All of the Bluka can wholeheartedly agree and say that you are the light and spirit of the house. And without you, we wouldn't have waffles, but we also wouldn't have the house we're also proud of being a part of. So we truly thank you for that.
Thank you very much, boys. Yeah, it's always my pleasure to be with you and, you know, yeah.
Also, very quickly, we also wanted to thank Mr. Ferguson for his support in making these podcasts and giving up his evenings to make sure we don't, you know, destroy the studio entirely. So thank you for that. And that's it for the fourth episode of the Duke's Discs. We hope you have a very good Christmas break and we hope you enjoyed today's show. And thank you very much, Radel, and good luck with your charity.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Max. Thank you, Harry. And thank you, Ralph. Yeah, and more power.
Thank you so much.